Okay, Daniel chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 6, 7, and 8. It'll be a reminder, those of you who were there last night, where we looked at last night, and we'll pick up from there and move forward a little bit. We're looking at the topic today of men need men. Let me read God's word. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, for with the wine which he drank, therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Let's pray to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. Lord, the beautiful sun shining on us, Lord, a reminder of how you have created all things, how you are in control of all things, Lord, and you, by you all things consist. Lord, I thank you for rising from the dead, Lord, in your power and your resurrection. And Lord, thank you that you died and rose again to give us the opportunity to trust in you for salvation, and that you come and live in us. And not only that, Lord, you want a relationship with us. You want us to walk with you. Lord, I ask now that you would please work in us and through us today. Please, Lord, we need you. We need your truth so that we can be more like you. Lord, I pray you would bless the preaching, work in our hearts, help us to allow you to work on us this morning. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, it is such a blessing to be back again in men's camp. It's one of my favorite things to do, to come to get around and be around other men, other Christian men. You know, what an encouragement it is to see how God works in you and you and you. And you know what's a reminder of the power of God? How, you know, many of us, maybe we've never met each other before, or you know each other, but you've been living in a different part of the country and you haven't seen each other. And yet God is still working in your life in a way he's working in someone else's life. And when we get together, you know what's a reminder of who God is and his power, that we can relate to one another based on, you know, what God is doing in my life, and he's the same God that's doing in your life if you are a Christian, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And, you know, that's the way God made us. He made us needing relationships, needing to relate to one another. You know, though it may sound appealing, and it is good to get away from life, to get away from people, to spend time maybe alone for a while, it is good, and we should spend time alone with God every day. But at the same time, God made us to relate to one another, to other people. You know, there's a reason that solitary confinement is considered a type of torture if it's done for weeks and weeks and weeks, because we're made to relate to one another. You know, it might sound like a spiritual statement to say, well, all I'm saved and all I need is the Holy Spirit in me and my Bible together, just me and the Lord, that's all I need. That might sound like a spiritual statement, but God begs to differ with that. You know, just look at the Ten Commandments. The first half of them deal with your relationship to God. The second half are how God expects us to deal with one another, about our relationship with each other. We need all sorts of relationships, but today we're going to look at specifically your relationship to other men. The fact that you and I, as men, as Christian men, we need men.
Amen.
Title of the message, it's Men Need Men, or specifically, you won't be able to see, I want to look at some men that you need in your life. Some men that you need in your life. if you don't take any other notes this morning, I'd like you to come away from this message in your notebook with some names of men. Some names of men in your life, or maybe they're not in your life as much as they should, and they should be in your life. I want you to come away from this message this morning with some men that you need in your life. So write down their names or draw a picture of them or something that will remind you of the men that you need in your life. So we're looking at this morning some men that you need in your life. First man you need in your life, number one, is someone to prepare you for what's ahead. You need a man or men that will prepare you for what is ahead in your life. Look in verse 8 where we started, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So remember what's happened. Daniel and many other young boys have been taken away, taken out of Jerusalem, taken captive, and brought to Babylon. And they've been brought to Babylon as teenagers, as young boys, and they're going to be given a new language. They're going to be given a new culture. They're going to be given a new education. They're going to be given a new master. They're going to be given new names. Consider the pressure that they're under. Right. Taken out of their environment. And all this change being pushed on them by none other than the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And you know, amidst all that change and turmoil and pressure in Daniel's life, verse 8 says that Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed to do things God's way. Do you know what that tells me about Daniel? It tells me that Daniel had a walk with God before he was ever taken to Babylon.
Yeah.
You know what that tells me? That tells me then that Daniel had somebody that prepared him for this moment. He had somebody in the background. Maybe it was a father. Maybe it was somebody else. But somebody who had done some unseen work in preparing him for this moment, for this time in his life. And this was at a young age in his life, and yet he was still there ready to purpose in his heart to do what was right as a teenage boy. We need some men in our life to prepare you for what's ahead. Who do you have? Who do you have, or who can you put as somebody in your life to prepare you for what is ahead for you? Maybe it's your father. Somebody who will teach you the right things, who will tell you what the word no means.
Amen.
Who will be an example to follow. An example to follow of what it is to work hard, to respect authority, to follow the Lord. Daniel had somebody that prepared him along the way so that he was able to purpose in his heart. Maybe you don't have that blessing of somebody in your own family. Maybe it's somebody else. You know, Timothy didn't have a faithful father to prepare him. He had a mother and a grandmother, but the Lord brought a father figure into his life, a man named Paul, that was able to teach him the way of salvation and teach him who God was and a walk with God after he trusted the Lord as a Savior. You know, the Lord is not limited to your circumstances and say, well, I can't be like Daniel. The Lord can work in different ways in our life. Daniel had somebody who prepared him for what was ahead. And you know, he needed to. You know, it would have been too late for Daniel to arrive in the palace in Babylon and to say, oh, there's a crisis. Things are falling apart. I wish I had a relationship with God before this all happened. The world's falling apart. I need to get to know God now. It's too late then. Sometimes we wait until it's too late. Sometimes we're waiting for a crisis to decide, I need God. You know, we need some people, some men in our lives that will prepare us before that time, will strengthen us and get us ready for that time. Who do you have? Or who can you find? Or can you see the importance of it and go to God and say, Lord, I need a man. I need somebody in my life that will prepare me, that will help me for what's coming ahead, for the challenges in my life, for the trials in my life. Maybe it's a pastor. Somebody who will preach the Bible, who will teach you, who will be there to help and guide and give you godly counsel. Maybe it's a friend, father figure, somebody who's walking with the Lord. But you know, the key is, it is somebody that you will allow to prepare you. That you will let them be the one to prepare you. Because it's easy to allow someone to prepare us when we agree with them. When they're telling us things that we know already. When they're telling us things that we like. It's another thing when it's something we don't know or don't. Isn't that the idea of preparing? It's teaching you something you don't know already. It's preparing you for something that you're not seeing. That you're caught up in looking at life right now. And they're trying to have you look. You're on the wrong road. Be careful. Head the other direction. We need to allow men to teach us. Look in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Keep your place in Daniel. We'll be back there many times. Proverbs 1:8. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, when everyone's to say the next word, hear. Let's do it again. My son, hear. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know, it's all very well having a father who will instruct you. You know, the Bible says we need to hear. We need to allow him or whoever that person is. We need to listen. We need to allow them to prepare us, to warn us, to help us. We need somebody, a man in our life, that we will listen to. Because if we're not going to listen, it's not going to help us. We'll all listen when we agree. Why? Because if when we only listen when we agree, you know what that is? I'm still in charge. I'll agree with God. I'll do what God says as long as I agree with him. I'll do what my parents say as long as I agree with them. I'll do what my whoever that person is, whoever that man is that is preparing you, that authority, that guide, that help. If I'll only listen as long as I agree, then I'm saying, you know what? I'm the king here. I'm in charge. And it's not going to be a help. Allow this person, these men to help. Have you got some names? Have you got somebody in your life to prepare you for what's ahead? Number two, second men we need to prepare or to in our life, some men you'll need to in your life. Secondly, is a man or men who will persevere with you. Men who will persevere with you. Turn back to Daniel chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Daniel 1, verse 6 and 7. Daniel 1, verse 6. So it says, now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. So remember, they've been besieged in Jerusalem. They've been taken away captive to Babylon. Daniel has been taken away, but what we see here, he was not alone. Daniel had some other young boys, some other young men that were there with him. You're in Daniel 1. Look forward to verse number 11 and 12. Verse 11 says, "Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink." Verse 13, "Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So he consented them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. Verse 15, "And at the end of ten days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat." You see, Daniel wasn't on his own. There was four of them. There was four of them that stood together, that stood before the king. There was four of them that, yes, Daniel was the one speaking, but he had three others that said, "You know what, we're coming along with you." The four of them were proved together. They were tested and tried, and it was the four of them that stood up for the Lord. Look in verse 19 and 20. Chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. It says, "And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king." Verse 20, "And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm." All of them. The four young boys. Daniel wasn't alone. He had the other three with him, and they were all found 10 times better than the magicians, the astrologers that were in the king's realm. So the second men we need is some men that will be side by side with us, that will persevere with us through life, through the battles of life. Remember, Moses had Aaron and Hur that held his hands up when the battle was going on, while Joshua was down in the valley in the battle. Paul had many men that went side by side with him as he traveled, as he went into towns and cities like Killarney that needed the gospel. He didn't go alone. He had men that went with him. Jesus sent the disciples out two by two to preach. He sent men with men. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." He that walketh with wise men. You know, if you walk with wise men, Proverbs 13, 20, the Bible says you shall be wise. That's a promise of God. But here's another promise of God. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, who you spend your time with will show either who you are or who you want to be or who you're going to become in the future. Yeah. Who are your companions? Who do you have? What men do you have that will persevere with you? What men do you have that will be iron sharpening iron? Who do you have? Or who, if you don't seek or ask the Lord to give you, to provide you with some men, or get into church and be that man and be a man around other men where the Lord will work. The Bible says in Philippians 1:27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi and he said, whether I come or I hear it, I want to know that you are striving together for the faith of the gospel. That it's not just one of you. You're working together. You've got people, men side by side, persevering, striving together for the Lord. Remember, Elijah thought he was the only one. God said, you're not. You know, that's one of the blessings and encouragement of men's camp. It's a reminder that you're not the only one. That there's other men, that God is so powerful that he's working in all of our lives together at the same time. And you see who God is as you see him working in our lives. So we need some men who will persevere with us. Third, men that we need in our life. Number three is some men you need in your life. Some men to patiently learn to deal with. Some men to patiently learn to deal with. Look in Daniel 1:8 again. Daniel 1 verse 8. Daniel chapter 1 verse number 8. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, or with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You know, one of the ways the Lord sometimes builds us is by allowing people into our lives that might not necessarily be on the same page. That might not necessarily be the ones that are side by side persevering with you. And you know, sometimes it's through learning to patiently deal with these situations, to deal with these other men. And often, as it is a case in Daniel's life here, it's in the case of authority. Why? Because authority is God's structure. God is the ultimate authority. And in our sinful nature, we want to rebel. We want to say, I'm going to do things my way. Man does that which is right in his own eyes. The Lord puts authority in our lives. And Daniel came to that authority and didn't get self-righteous and didn't get angry and didn't get impatient and didn't get bitter. Oh, why is all this happening to me? Why do I have to be taken out of Jerusalem? Who's he to tell me what to do? He's a heathen king. Bible says Daniel requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might defile himself. Daniel submitted himself to the authority that God put into his life. Daniel didn't go judging, what is this, a good authority? Is this a bad authority? This is the authority God's allowed into my life. Yeah. And he simply requested. He was standing for God, but he requested, may I please not eat of this? May I eat of the pulse instead of the king's meat? He learned patience. Look in chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. You say, but the king was nice to him. It was easy for him. Well, let's look at chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Chapter 6, verse 3 says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because he had an excellent spirit, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. You're like, wow. Life's wonderful for Daniel. It's so he had God's spirit. He had an excellent spirit in him. And he's promoted above all the presidents and princes. It's easy for him. Daniel doesn't understand my life. Well, let's look at verse 4. He says, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful neither was there any error or fault found in him. You see, Daniel was promoted by the Lord. He was raised up to that position, and raised up to that position brought attack, brought enemies, brought people who were envious of what was happening in Daniel's life. He brought some people into Daniel, some more people into Daniel's life, some men that he had to learn how to deal with them. He had to deal with them wisely. And you know that he did, because at the end of verse number 4 it says, "For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." You know, the Lord allowed these men into Daniel's life, but they could find nothing bad to say about him.
Amen.
Why? He was faithful. They couldn't find an error or a fault in him. They had to set a trap for him because they couldn't find fault with him. You know, maybe you have some men in your life and they frustrate you and you get angry with them and you're like, why are they doing this to me? Don't worry about why. You know what? The Lord has allowed those into your life. Maybe it's for you to grow. Maybe for you to learn patience. For you to learn to control that anger. For you to learn to go to the Lord and see the Lord working in a bad situation. Just like Daniel. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:7, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." You know, as Christians, we're to keep a good report, a good name amongst those that are outside the doors of the church, amongst those that are unsaved. We're to keep a good report. The Bible says, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." But you know, sometimes we want to turn that on its head and make it say that everyone who suffers persecution is living godly. The Bible doesn't say that. Sometimes we're suffering persecution because we can't control ourselves, because we get angry, or because we want to look like martyrs and start acting a fool and bring all that persecution on us so we can say, "Ah, look how godly I am." Maybe the Lord has brought some lost people, some men in your life that, and it's there not for you to go, "Oh, look how, you know, they're lost, it's all their fault." Maybe the Lord has allowed that for you to grow.
Amen.
For you to learn to deal with them. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 3. If you can turn there, Romans 5, 3 and 4. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Romans 5, verse 3. The Bible says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Experience hope. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." You know, the Lord sometimes allows trials, allows tribulation into your life, because tribulation works experience, and experience works patience, and patience hope. You know what? You need to trust and rely on the Lord through those times. So the third men maybe we need in our lives are in our lives already, but we need to see why they're in our lives is to learn to deal patiently with those men. Have you got somebody in mind? Somebody in mind that's in your life that you know you don't deal with right? Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you to see in the moment. In the moment when it's, there it goes again. Ask the Lord to help you to see how you can grow, how you can learn in that moment. Number four. Fourth man we can need in our life. Someone to push you forward a little bit. Someone to push you forward. Look in Daniel 1 verse 11 and 12. Daniel 1 verse 11 and 12. Daniel 1:11 says, "Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink." I want you to picture Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We said that they were there side by side with Daniel. You know, I wonder if they were kind of, they were side by side with Daniel, kind of going, what do I do here? Daniel is the one that's speaking up. Daniel is the one that's saying, you know what? Prove us.
Amen.
It doesn't say that they said, Daniel, will you go speak for us? They're standing there and go, what? Prove us? We're in?
Amen.
They're in. Daniel was the one that opened his mouth and push them forward, maybe when they weren't ready. It's like, I'm not ready. I'm not able for this. Well, God allowed Daniel to be in their life to push them forward. He had purposed in his heart. But he also brought others along with him. They're pressing forward, but Daniel is the one doing the pressing to start them off at least. The other ones appear to be following. You know, he's saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. You know, it doesn't always have to be like that. You can try and help someone else to come forward and try and push them forward with you, maybe by your example. But we need somebody that we will allow to push us forward. You know, if you need pushed and that's somewhere that you didn't really feel like going right there today. It's something you're like, oh, I'm not comfortable with that. Oh, I'm not just ready. I'm not able for it. And somebody said, you know what? Let's go. Or come on, let's try it. Trust the Lord. We need somebody. We need a man in our life or men in our life that we will allow to push us forward. That we will trust. You know what? God has allowed them into my life. And I might not like it, but I'm going to allow them to push me forward. I'm going to allow God to use them in my life. I quote already Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Iron sharpening iron means taking off little bits. And that hurts. We need some men that we will allow to sharpen us. Just like Paul said to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 1:11, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He said, I want to push you forward. I want you to go forward in your walk with the Lord. We need to get ourselves around men who will sharpen us. Men who are pressing forward in their own life. And they will also press us forward. And you know, that is probably not only going to be your peers. It's probably going to be somebody who's maybe been walking with the Lord maybe a little bit longer. Or maybe somebody who's newly saved and they've got a zeal for the Lord. And you look and you see in them what you say, well, I used to have that.
Yeah.
And you get yourself around them and get reminded of what God has done in your life and get going forward again. Put yourself around them so it's somebody that will push you forward in your walk with the Lord. Fifth, men we need in our life. Number five is some men to pray with us and to pray for us. Look in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Let's look at verse 13. Down to 18. I'll start in 13 and I'll read as far as 18. Daniel 2, verse 13. It says, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone for to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. And look at what Daniel did in verse 17 and 18. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel's in trouble. The decree has been made. If he can't interpret or tell what the dream was and interpret it, he's going to be killed along with all the wise men, and the magicians and the astrologers in Babylon. He's in a crisis. What do I do? The first thing he does, and he goes and he finds those companions. He goes and finds those other men that were side by side with him, those men that he was pushing forward. He goes and finds them and he tells them what's happening. He tells them what's happening so that they can pray to the Lord of heaven. They might not have the answer, but he knows that they will go to his God and their God. What is needed is to go and pray. We need some men in our lives that will pray for us. We need some men in our lives that will pray with us. But you know what many Christian men will do? When we really need help, that's when we'll go and hide away from our brethren. We'll go and hide from the people that can help us. We'll stop going to church when we need to be there. We'll stop being around the people that will sharpen us when we need to be around them. When time of crisis comes, we go and hide because that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to get us on our own like that, as a lion devouring. He wants to get that the weaker animal out to the side of the herd and get him on his own. We need some men that will pray for us, that will be with us through it all. Who do you have? Write some names. Write some names and come back to that when you're tempted. Come back to that when you're feeling down and it's, I can't do it and it's all falling apart. Who do I have? Who can I pray for? You know, if you say, I don't have anyone, well, you do. Ask somebody around here before you leave tomorrow. Ask somebody, will you be someone? Can I phone you? Can I phone you and let you know what's going on? Will you pray for me when I need it? Ask somebody. Get some names, get some phone numbers, get some people that you can be around. Get a church that you are in every single time the doors are open. So that you're not going the weeks and weeks without being around Christian men, without being around the Bible, without being around the people who will pray for you and pray to the God of heaven to help you through it. We need some men who will pray for us. Number 6. We need some men in our life who will prevail with us. Look in Daniel chapter 2, verse 48 and 49. Daniel 2, verse 48 and 49. Daniel 2, 48. Bible says, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Verse 49, then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So Daniel, Bob says, is now has been made a great man by the king. He was just a child in chapter 1. Now the king has promoted him and made him a great man. But what's the first thing that Daniel does after the king has promoted him? He made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over the wise men of Babylon. What's the first thing he did? Verse 4 says, he requested of the king that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Daniel was promoted himself because after he interpreted the, or God interpreted the dream, and Daniel just spoke, said what God said. He's promoted as a great man. The first thing he does was go to the king and says, what about these guys? These guys are part of the victory. These guys stood with me. These guys, you can trust them, you can rely on them. You said yourself they were wiser, 10 times wiser than the wisest men you had already. You see, when Daniel was promoted, when Daniel had the victory himself, he didn't forget the other guys. He didn't get too big for himself. He said, oh, look how God is using me. He never forgot the guys who were side by side with him. The guys who prayed for him and with him when the death was coming. When their life was on the line. He got promoted and he brought them with him. They prevailed together. They strove together. They prayed together. But they won the victory together. You know what? Don't forget those. You know what? You get victory over some things in your life. Don't forget those who are beside you through it. You know, because they might need you tomorrow. Amen. Don't just go on and forget the people that helped you through. You know, be like the one leper who came back and thanked Jesus. Not like the other nine who headed off. Some people to prevail with. Number 7. Almost there. Another man we need in our, some men we need in our life is some men to pass on what we've learned to. Somebody that we can pass it on to, that we can help. Look in chapter 3, Daniel chapter 3, verse 13 as far as 18. Daniel 3, verse 13 to 18. Have you got some names? You got some people in mind? Have you got some people you need to pray for that you say, I don't have this, have a man like this? Well, pray for it. Daniel 3, verse 13. The Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. You see who's not there this time? There's no Daniel. There's not four anymore. There's three. There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There is the three of them standing now. Why? Because this is now their moment. This is their time. Why? Because they needed a Daniel before to look up to. They needed Daniel to prevail with, to help them through. They needed a Daniel to push them on. And now, why? Because now Daniel's not there. They're there on their own, the three of them together. And they're the ones have to stand without Daniel. And you see so much similarity between how Daniel dealt with in chapter 1. You see the respect for authority. You see, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. They spoke to the king respectfully, but yet they still laid it on the line that they trust God, that God, and that they would not worship the golden image that the king had set up. You see, now they've got their responsibility. They've got their respect for authority. They've got their steadfastness for what's right and wrong. They've got a real relationship with the Lord themselves. You see, we can talk all about the men that we need in our lives, and we have done so far. But eventually, it's going to come to the point, or has come to the point a long time ago, when we need to be those men. We need to be the ones who's a father figure. We need to be the one that's pressing some people on. We need to be the ones that's praying and helping and guiding and strengthening and helping other men and praying for them. We need men that we can pour our lives into, that we can pass things on to, just like Daniel had those three men that he pressed and he pushed. Why? Because eventually those three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have been three men that followed the Lord and stood for the Lord. And you know what? We're still looking up to them thousands of years later. We're still following them. They followed Daniel. They allowed Daniel to push them forward. But now they're the ones we're following. Who do you have? Who are you trying to help? Who are you trying to pass on the things that somebody has done for you? Maybe it's a young boy. Maybe it's some man your own age. Maybe it's somebody that's been saved a long time and you see that their zeal has waned, they're discouraged, and maybe you can be the one to help and encourage them to keep on going forward. We need some men to pass on what we've learned to. And finally, number 8. Most of all, we need a man to pay for our sins. Look in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. Daniel 3:25. The Bible says he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." There was three men that were thrown into the fiery furnace. The Bible says there was no hurt on them. There was no harm that came to them. Why? Because there wasn't just three in the fire, there was a fourth. Amen. Jesus Christ, creator of all things, was with them in the fire so that the fire could not hurt them. We need a man, and there is only one man, the man Christ Jesus, who can protect you from the fire of hell. that can pay, has already paid for your sin. He's already paid the price. But you need to decide, am I going to allow him to pay for mine? Am I going to accept the payment he's already made? Or am I going to go forward and try and go through and pay for my own sin? The only reason those three men were unharmed because Jesus Christ was with them. Because Jesus Christ had done the work, had paid the price, and he's paid the price for you. Who has paid for your sin? Who have you chosen to allow to pay the price? You say, I hear all the preaching. I know about Jesus. I know the death, burial, and resurrection. I know all about it. But have you allowed him to be the man who pays for your sin? Not are you religious? Not have you been baptized? Not have you, do you go to church? Have you allowed Jesus Christ to pay for your sin? Have you called on him to save you? Cry out to him, Lord, I need you to save me because my sins, I deserve to be in hell today and forevermore. He's the only man that can do it. You know, we've talked about lots of men that we need. You know, you can surround yourself with all the great men that you can find. Not one of them can save you from one sin. Not one. But Jesus Christ can save you from all. No matter how bad you think it is, no matter how bad God thinks it is, Jesus Christ has died to pay for your sin. Would you allow him to do so? So we need some men in our lives. We need some men to prepare us for what's ahead. We need some men who will persevere with us. We need some men who will patiently, we can patiently learn to deal with. We need some men who will push us forward. We need some men to pray with and for us. We need some men who will prevail with us, who will celebrate victory with us. We need some men to pass on what we've learned so that we can continue to grow. But most of all, we need a man who's already paid for your sin. We need to allow him to do that. Pastor Levin.